I want people to shout out some names for Jesus, and I'm going to repeat it so people at home can hear it as well. What's the name for Jesus? Emmanuel. Yeshua. Adonai. Elohim. Yahweh. Emmanuel. Counselor. Savior. Healer. King. Messiah. Prince of Peace. Lord of Lords. Some of y'all, this is what it sounds like in your head, huh? Blah, 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 blah. Clear it out. Okay, keep going. Rose of Sharon. Healer. Prince of Peace. Deliverer. Our salvation. The way, the truth, the life. All right, that's mine. Anybody else?
The Word.
The Word. The living Word. The Rock. The Priest. High Priest. Lion of Judah, Lamb of God. Anybody else?
I am.
The Almighty, the Protector, Friend. I just want to remind everybody this morning who you came to worship, who you came to learn about. Anyone else? King of Kings. Anybody online? Type it out if we didn't get it. If you guys see it online, shout it out to me so I can say it.
Father.
Heavenly Father. Eternal life, creator, living water, sustainer, the bright morning star, son of God,
truth,
the life, Lord of Lords, the beginning and the end, Alpha and Omega, the way, the gate, the bridge, the life, light, the light. Amen. Let's do two more. Not at the same time because I had no idea what y'all said. Two more. Amen. Only God knows. Hey, we're going to be learning about that today, the gift of tongues. Hallelujah. Anyone else? Two more. We already got the truth, the eternal life. One more. Sovereign. Man, isn't that incredible? We just named like, I don't know, 25, 30 names for Jesus, the one we serve. It's good to know who you worship. It's good to recognize why you worship. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. My name is Pastor Harris. I'm glad that you're joining us this morning for worship at First Open Bible. I am the lead pastor here, and Pastor Mark's out there. I'm going to wait till he gets in to thank him for bringing the word last week. Is he ready? Oh, no, he's talking. Okay. So let's move on. You know, let's do something funny. Will you do it with me? As soon as he walks in, everybody start clapping, okay? Okay, ready? Right. Oh, come on now. Here he goes. He turned around. Come on, man. He's like this. He goes to the door and he turns around. He knows I'm saying something, I bet. He's talking to somebody. Yeah. Well, I'm thankful for the Word of God that he brought last week. He's a great teacher. He gets into the Word. He digs into the Word, digs into other things to tie to the Word. You know what's good is you need to make sure you go to a church that makes the Word of God relevant, right? You know, awake, not woke, right? Relevant to our world today. Ready, set, go. Yeah, Pastor Mark! Hallelujah. You just volunteered to do an interpret dance. I said, if he blows kisses, he's in. I made all that up. Okay. Praise God. Yeah. So, I just want to say thank you for bringing the word last week, and I appreciate it. Your hard work and teaching abilities for God's word to God's people, it's much appreciated. Thank you so much. Well, this marks our last Sunday for a monthly series titled, Holy Spirit Come. 1 Thessalonians 1:5 says this, for the gospel did not come to you in word only, but in power and in the Holy Spirit. A couple weeks ago, I preached on hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit. How can you hear the voice of God for yourself? First one is you have to read the word of God. Amen? Read the Word of God. And then Pastor Mark even reiterated that last week. Number two is you have to be in silence and stillness in prayer. And the third one is you must obey. You got to obey what God is saying. Amen? The Bible says in Galatians 5:25 says, since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. That's hard to do, isn't it? If you agree, say amen. If you didn't, amen, you're a liar or you're lying this morning. There's not every part of your life that you constantly follow the Spirit of God, but we should. We should. And if you're living in the Spirit, you're going to follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. I'm so thankful for God's grace and mercy. Amen? Because when we don't, we can turn back to Him and He can remind us again and we can hear His voice again. Another way that we want the Holy Spirit to come and we can be led by the Spirit of God is, and we can commune with God is through speaking with other tongues. I've titled today's sermon, Gift of Tongues. Amen? All you non-Pentecostals came to visit this morning or sweating. Praise God. I remember I grew up as a Methodist. I did not understand one thing about this gift at all because it was never, at least in where I grew up, never ever taught about. But I am honored this morning and thankful to teach about the gift of tongues because I believe it is extremely important this morning. The gift of tongues is a spiritual language in prayer to God by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Everything God does in you starts from within, and then it moves without. Everything God works in you starts from within, and then it manifests without. The gift of speaking in tongues is part of the promise that Jesus told us about before He ascended into heaven. People think they need to do something to receive a gift, right? Especially when we think we need to receive a gift of the Holy Spirit. But if you earn a gift, it's no longer a gift. It's just like salvation. You can't earn salvation. It's a gift. Here's what we need to do. We have to desire all God has for us, right? Don't be satisfied with yesterday's bread. Don't be satisfied with last week's manna. If you haven't read the Word of God all week and you waited today to finally get fed, you are starving. And maybe you read all week long, but you don't desire the gifts of the Spirit. Or maybe you read all week long, you desire the gifts of the Spirit, but you're not being obedient to them. Whatever it is, you have to desire all that God has for you before you're in His holy presence completely. You have to yearn for the gifts that God promises His children. When the Holy Spirit comes and He rests upon you, there is going to be a manifestation. So I want you to ask yourself a couple questions here. Is the Holy Spirit a force or is He a friend? Just ask yourself. Right? Ask yourself these questions. Is the Holy Spirit a force? Right? I remember growing up and not understanding it, and I thought the Holy Spirit was some mystical mist that just kind of came in and then came out, and He was just some sort of flying around. He was either a dove or He was like Casper, like the friendly ghost, right? And he's just kind of popping up and be like, hey, have a great day, and then pop around, you know, it's just weird. Right? I didn't quite understand. So is the Holy Spirit a force or a friend? Is the Holy Spirit a power or is He a person? Because based on those answers of those two questions I just asked, it's going to determine your grasp of who and what the Holy Spirit is. So before we get into the gift of speaking in other tongues, I want us to, before we break it down, I want us to get in some biblical doctrine and foundation on the Spirit of the living God. Okay? Let's get some foundation before we try to build upon it. The first time the Spirit of God is mentioned in the entire Bible is in what verse? Do you know? Second verse. Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. The second verse in the entire Bible is the first time the Spirit of God is mentioned. The Spirit of God is mentioned over 800 times in the entirety of the Bible. 800. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, He is not an it or a mystical power. He is a person. He is part of the Godhead, part of the triune God, and He dwells around us. And if you are saved, He dwells in us. The Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost or the Spirit of God is the third person of the Trinity, the triune God manifested as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We do not worship or serve a duality. We worship and serve a Trinity. We should have communion with the Holy Spirit. Just like we have communion with the other two parts of the Godhead. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is God. Just because you don't understand it does not mean it's not true. Just because it hasn't been revealed to you yet in all of its entirety does not mean it's not true. It does not mean we can ignore or we can forget about or not talk about. When people don't understand things, they either don't talk about it, or they make fun of it, or they shun it. Jesus said this in John chapter 14, in verse 17, He said, "He is the Holy Spirit who leads you into all truth." That's powerful right there. The world cannot receive Him because it isn't looking for Him and doesn't recognize Him. But you know Him because He lives with you now and later will be in you. He was prophesying about the Pentecost that was coming. It's impossible to understand the workings of the Holy Spirit without first knowing Him as a person. Right? You don't know about me unless you know me as a person. You don't know my likes. You don't know my dislikes. You don't know my fears and failures. You don't know about my successes. You don't know about these things unless you know me as a person. There'll be people watching online that just know that I'm a guy that preaches on Sunday mornings. But you don't know me unless you know me. And you can't know the Holy Spirit and things about God unless you know the Holy Spirit. Make sense? Just like Christ, the person of the Holy Spirit is living and eternal. Church, we're a trifold creation. We are spirit. We are soul, and we are body. Amen? If you agree with that, say amen. Amen. When you ask Christ into your life to save you and to lead you, your spirit is made alive. Jesus explained this in the New Testament as being born again. Okay? And the Spirit of God now dwells in you. When you ask Christ into your heart and you are saved, the Spirit of God comes and makes your spirit alive. You were born again. And He starts to change and purify your soul. What is your soul? It's who makes you you. It's your personality. It's the decisions. It's the actions. It's your thoughts. That's your soul. It's who makes you you, right? And when the Spirit of God comes inside of you and dwells in you, He starts to change and purify who you are, why you think the way you think and why you don't think that anymore and why you talk the way you talk and why you don't talk that way anymore, and the way you see things differently, you talk differently, you walk differently, you love differently. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says this, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own?" With God's Spirit in you, the fruits of the Spirit start to become evident in your life. When you submit to God and His way of living, right? We don't like to judge, but the Bible says we can judge other believers based off the fruits of their life, right? You say, "I'm a believer," but man, you still cuss up a storm. That's bad fruit. You say you're a believer, but you got no faith and you're full of fear. That's bad fruit, right? You say you're a believer, but you can't love your neighbor as yourself. That's bad fruit. But when the Spirit of God comes in you and you allow Him to change your soul, the Spirit will change you and mold you and shape you. Fruits of the Spirit will be evident in your life. You won't be the same person. Let me tell you, I'm not the same Harris I was in high school. I'm not the same Harris I was in college, and everybody said amen to that, right? And I'm not the same guy I was even 10 years ago. I'm not the same Harris as I was a little over 6 years ago when I became lead pastor here. I'm not the same Harris when I went off into my first youth ministry back in 2004. I'm not the same person because God, His Spirit, is changing me, and I'm allowing that to happen. The fruits of the Spirit are evident in my life. When you say yes to Jesus, He will change you. If you don't look any different, you have not said, listen to me, church. If you don't look any different than you did on the day that you said, Jesus, come into my life, I'm going to say this. You're not saved. Because following Jesus requires a change in your life. When you say yes to Jesus, you will be changed. You will think different. You'll talk different. I'm not saying it's all, you're not going to be totally consecrated, right? And totally like holy and just like 5 hours in your word and praying and all this amazing stuff and everybody, you know, you're giving to everyone. What I'm saying is there's a process and it has to start. And if it hasn't started, you might want to get on your knees again and ask God to change you and then submit to His flow, submit to His river, submit to His authority, submit to His lordship. And when you do that, you will change. There is no other way. That's the way it works. But when you're baptized by the Spirit of the living God, the Bible says that when Jesus ascended to heaven, He went up into heaven, and 10 days later, there was 500 that were waiting in the upper room, 120 waited, 380 left somewhere. They had something else to do. I guess they were only satisfied with the fruits and didn't want the gifts. So there's 120 of them, and they were endued with power from on high. Jesus said, it's better that I go, for my Father will send another, a counselor, a powerful heavenly being that's going to endue you with power and change the world forever. And they were baptized by the Spirit of living God on the first Pentecost, a little over 2,000 years ago in that upper room. What's an upper room? It just means like the second story. But when you're baptized by the Spirit of God and you are satiated or saturated with His presence, His power, and His love, it's then that you're able to experience and manifest the gifts of the Spirit in your life. Now, there's 9 fruits, and how many gifts are there? Anybody know how many gifts of the Spirit are there? 9. 9 and 9. It's pretty easy to remember. Okay. There's 9 fruits and 9 gifts of the Spirit. One of those beautiful gifts is the gift or the evidence of speaking in other tongues. You receive the Holy Spirit at salvation. Amen? Any believers in here, if you're a believer, say amen.
Amen.
And you can receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit if you ask God for it and submit to His wonderful gift. Now, this gift begins inwardly. Anybody want me to teach on it this morning? Amen. Anybody interested about it?
Yes.
Amen. I know there's people in here that have desired this gift and have not received it yet, and I'm preaching to you today. I'm preaching to everybody, but I'm preaching directly to you today. Now, this gift is the overflow of God's Spirit in your life. It comes from God's Spirit to your spirit, gets to your soul, who you are, and then it gets to your body, and it manifests physically as a vocalization, and that's the language that you hear coming out. Speaking in tongues is done by 2 different expressions, okay? The first one is privately. Speaking in tongues is a private language. It's a private prayer language, and it's heavenly, and it's one that only your spirit and God's spirit understands. It's a direct line to God. And the second expression of speaking in tongues is corporately. And here at First Open Bible, we see that frequently here. We didn't see it this morning. But sometimes we see that here. Corporately, if speaking in tongues happens corporately, then there must be an interpretation if there's a non-believer present. And since we're online, we better have an interpretation. The Bible says it's equal to prophecy. Does that make sense? So tongue interpretation, it's not a translation. So sometimes you'll hear a tongue and it's really long and there's an interpretation, not a translation. So sometimes it doesn't seem like it's equal. But it's an interpretation of what God is saying through that person and speaking to us, and it's equal to prophecy. And if it's corporate, Paul tells us and instructs us there must be an interpretation or it will cause confusion. There's a non-believer, there will be confusion because somebody's like, Shanda Rambo Koro, and they're like, what? That person's drunk. That's what happened the first time that happened. It was about 10 a.m. in the morning, and people like, they've been drinking. They're all drunk. No, man, it's like 10 a.m. They're not drunk yet. It's the Spirit of God. And then they said, wow, they're speaking in all these crazy tongues. You have to read about it. It's in the book of Acts. Now, the corporate tongue and an interpretation is to do something. Do you know what prophecy is? It's to build up, it's to edify, and it's to encourage the body of Christ. So when there's a tongue interpretation or there's a gift of prophecy because they're equal to each other, it's to build up, edify, and encourage the body of Christ. It's not to condemn and say, you sinners, blah, you're burning in hell if you don't turn. Turn or burn, right? That's not the gift of tongues and interpretation, and that's not the gift of prophecy. God has a message through his Spirit, and he speaks to us. I love that God speaks to us in different ways. It's good to hear his voice, amen? Amen. This morning, I want to focus on the private gift of speaking in tongues. That's what I'm going to be preaching on, the private gift of speaking in tongues. And I want to encourage everybody in here today, so listen to this morning. Just because you don't pray in tongues yet does not mean that you're not a Christian. Did you hear me? If you haven't spoke with other tongues yet, that does not mean you're not a Christian. Just because you don't pray in tongues yet does not mean that you don't have faith either. That does not mean that. If you've asked God for this gift, the gift of speaking in tongues, for your private prayer language, he's going to give it to you. If you sincerely have asked for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God will fill you to overflowing and with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Just because you don't pray in tongues yet does not mean that God does not care about you. Here's what it might mean. It might mean that you have some obstacles that you have to overcome to receive this gift. I'm going to talk about three of those obstacles this morning, but I'm going to start with the Word. 1 Corinthians 2:9-14 in the NLT says this. This is what Scripture means when they say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. But it was to us that God revealed these things by his Spirit. For his Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. No one can know a person's thoughts except a person's own spirit. And no one can know God's thoughts except through God's own Spirit. And we have received God's Spirit, not the world's spirit. Praise God. So we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. When we tell you these things, we do not use words that come from human wisdom. Instead, we speak words given to us by the Spirit, using the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truths. That makes sense. I love that God's a God of order, right? That makes sense. If you want to know about things that are spiritual and you want to receive things that are spiritual, then you got to know God's Spirit and you have to hear God's Spirit because God's Spirit is spiritual. Right? And then verse 14 in the middle, it says it sounds foolish to them, people that don't understand it, right? People aren't, if they're not spiritual, they can't receive these truths from God's Spirit. It sounds foolish to them and they can't understand it. For only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. This section of Scripture talks about the conversation that takes place, spirit to spirit. The very depths of who you are, your spirit communing with the very depths of who God is, his Spirit. How cool is that? That the very depths of who we are, our soul and our spirit, coming together and speaking to God's Spirit. That's pretty amazing. The Bible teaches us that our personal prayer language, which is speaking in tongues, is to your benefit. It's our benefit. Say my benefit. Personal edification. It's personal benefit. 1 Corinthians 14:4, the first part of that verse says, a person who speaks in tongues is strengthened personally. When you pray in tongues, you're building up your spirit and you're edifying yourself. Some people have explained it kind of like when you speak in tongues, like you have an engine, and when you speak with tongues, you're turning on the engine, and the more that you do it, the more fuel is poured into the engine, and the more that it goes. Right? When you start to study speaking in tongues in the New Testament, what we start to see is there is a conversation taking place between us, me, and God. And the Holy Spirit prays for us, right? Sometimes we run out of English. You ever get like that when you're praying to God and I was like, I don't know what to pray anymore. I got no more answers. I got no more words. I got no more explanation. I got nothing left. I have no idea how to pray to God anymore. You ever get like that? The Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. Romans 8:26 says this, and the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, when we don't know what God wants us to pray for, right? You ran out of answers. But the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. So there is communication in the Spirit that cannot be put into earthly words. Right? If I said this, I said, okay, please explain to me in its entirety God's glory. Go. You can do it. We don't have earthly words to explain it. Let's talk about God's perfect love. Go. You can't explain that completely. Let's talk about the never-ending forgiveness, grace, and mercy that God provides for people who turn to Him. We can't do it. We don't have the words. There are no earthly words that express it great enough or in depth enough. There's a reality that the Holy Spirit is wanting to pray for us and praying with us. And this communication is purely spiritual. It is not earthly. 1 Corinthians 14:2 says this, for if you have the ability to speak in tongues, you'll be talking only to God, since people won't be able to understand you. You'll be speaking by the power of the Spirit, but it will all be mysterious. When we speak in tongues, Scripture tells us that we're praying in the Spirit. So when we're praying in the Spirit, that's the same realm that the Spirit of God is in. When we're praying in the Spirit and the Holy Spirit is in the Spirit, we are in oneness. You hear that? When you're praying in the Spirit of God and you are in oneness. We join our prayers with the Spirit's prayers. And the Holy Spirit is then praying for us. That's an incredible thought. So what are the obstacles that cause people to miss out on this gift? You ready? I don't see many papers out. I see a lot of blank stares. That's what I see. I see all of your faces, all of you. What are some of the obstacles that cause people to miss out on this gift? Here's the number one obstacle. You overthink it. You overthink it. What do I mean? 1 Corinthians 2:14. But people who aren't spiritual can't receive the truths from God's Spirit. It sounds foolish to them, and they can't understand it. For those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. The flesh cannot comprehend the Spirit, church. Did you hear me? Your flesh cannot comprehend the Spirit. When you try to understand God by the flesh and not by holy revelation, you find lack. You're going to fall flat. When you try to understand revelation of God's word by information instead of revelation, you're going to find lack. You're going to fall flat. When we overanalyze and we constantly are thinking, right, and observing and assessing and computing what is going on in the spirit. I don't know about this, and I don't understand that, and I don't know if that's real, and I don't know about it. Just constantly looking around. They're getting it, and they're not. In the back row, and in the middle row, and I don't know about that, and the people are at the front, but there's people talking in the back, people on their phones right now, and they're blah, blah, you know, I don't understand. Maybe it's not God, because all these people are on social media while the pastor's preaching, and they're overanalyzing instead of relying on God's divine providence. And we miss out on God's gifts, and we miss out on God's promises. The number one reason why most people don't receive the gift of speaking in tongues is they simply just overthink it. They use their flesh to try to understand and figure out the spiritual truths. People freak out, and they worry. And they try to assess every little thing that's going on. You're just stuck in your head. Many people go to hell by one foot because salvation has only been about this and never about this. It's one foot away. Many people miss out on the spiritual things God wants to do in your life by one foot because you're stuck in your head. They're trying to figure out all the dynamics that are going on right now instead of flowing in God's river and submitting to his flow. Here's the truth. It's not going to be completely understood by you. You're not going to understand it completely. Okay? Just get that in your head now to try to understand what you don't understand. Okay? And it won't be fruitful for your mind. The Bible tells us it's actually not going to be fruitful for your mind. It's unfruitful for your mind, but it's very fruitful for your spirit. So if you're waiting for your mind to comprehend everything that's going on when you're praying in tongues, you simply are not going to be praying in tongues. Amen? Number one is what?
Overthink it.
Number two, another obstacle you may be facing to not receive the gift that God has for you in speaking in other tongues is fear. Fear. People wonder, what if this is just me praying? Right? I've been there. I had some major obstacles. You know, I even went to a Pentecostal Bible college. I went through all of my schooling has been nothing but public school until I went to Bible college. And all my background, except for part of my high school, was in a very traditional church that never taught anything like this. And then I went to a Pentecostal church that rarely, you know, sometimes talked about it, but it was very, very large. And a lot of large Pentecostal churches, from what I've noticed, I'm not saying all of them, but a lot of them, they tried to cap things because it can get out of hand real quick or whatever. And there's just a lot of people and we don't have the abilities to calm it all down if we want to. And so they talked a little bit about it. But I even went to Bible college, and I remember going to Bible college, and I even graduated from Bible college, and then I became a youth pastor. I moved from Oregon to Illinois and became a youth pastor, even preached on Pentecostal things, but I was never filled with the Spirit. I didn't get it because I was stuck in my head. I was overthinking it, and I was full of fear because of some of these things I'm about to list because of what I've been told in the past. Man, that's just me praying. Oh, that's fake. What if this is just all hype? And what if this is just my emotions? I'm just getting wrapped up in the moment. Or what if this is a demonic spirit praying? What if this is not God at all? Unfortunately, a lot of Christians believe that. What if this is not God at all? That's not God. Now, why is it in the Bible, right? Oh, I'm pulling away for a second to teach on something real quick. So they say that it died out with the apostolic age. The apostolic age is the first century of the believers that walk with Jesus, the apostles, right? The 12 disciples that were walking with Jesus. They said that being baptized in the Holy Spirit, speaking with other tongues, it died out with the apostolic age, right? You ever heard that? Raise your hand if you've heard that. Okay, let's destroy that with one little thing. Paul was never a disciple. Paul wrote most of the New Testament. Paul says that he speaks with other tongues more than anyone. Paul spent an entire chapter telling us about speaking in other tongues, how to organize other tongues, and how to be submitted to other tongues. Paul teaches us more about spiritual tongues than anyone, and he was never an apostle. So how did it die out with the apostolic age when the man who teaches us most about it, and we read to this day, he was never an apostle? Not an original one of the disciples, right? Was it osmosis because he hung out with disciples? If that was true, then let's go that route. Okay, cool. So he's hanging out with Peter, who's full of the Holy Ghost and healing people with his shadow, and he's walking around with Mark, and he's discipling, he's doing all this stuff, right? And then he gets speaking in other tongues through osmosis because he's hanging out with the original ones. Well, couldn't Timothy get it because he hung out with Paul? And couldn't Timothy give it to so-and-so who gives it to so-and-so? And all the way down until this day? Right? It doesn't even make any sense. It did not die out with the apostolic age. You just don't understand it, and so you think it's dead.
That's right.
I've seen it real, and I've seen it fake. But I've seen it real. And it's true. And I remember I was stuck in my head and I was full of fear. And it wasn't until I submitted, till I received. But when I received, I know it was real. And it was unreal. It was crazy, wild, amazing. But I'm going to tell you, when I was first a youth pastor, I preached out of my head. Everything I did was out of my head, right? I'm not a dumb guy. I'm not super intelligent, but I'm not dumb. So I got a college education, and then I even went back to college, which probably wasn't too smart because it was expensive, and I even got another degree. Why would I do that? Well, because I didn't. We had time. So before kids, like, Pastor, you want to get a doctorate? I was like, what? Do you want me to literally walk around as a zombie? I don't think so. I'm not going back. That's ridiculous. But I remember everything I did, I preached out of my head. Everything I learned at Bible college, everything I learned about even going further and getting my master's degree. And it was everything is about my head and what I learned. And I got filled with the Holy Ghost. And I was out of my head and in my spirit, and rivers of living water would come. I preached different. I walked different. I talked different. I ministered different. I loved different. It was just totally different. And then I was edified, built up, and encouraged because I started praying in this weird language that I didn't understand. But something in me was like, woo! Everything I've ever been told in my past is a lie. Y'all just didn't understand it, and you couldn't prove it in God's word and why you say that. I'm reading in God's word. It's for today. So I wanted to land on that because I feel like there's some people in here today that for many years you've been taught things that you know, you said, well, holy people told me that, but did they ever prove it by God's word? Who cares what they say? Be a Berean and search in the scriptures, right? Find it out for yourself. I hope you don't just come in here, whatever pastor says or whatever Pastor Mark says, I'm going to blindly believe it and just walk out. No, it should confirm in your soul. Like, man, I knew it. Or, oh, I'm going a little bit deeper. Or, I'm going to take this. That's why I like you. When you take notes, you go home and you get a little bit deeper into it. And you get your revelation of it. Man, that's my revelation. That's my truth. That's what I'm going to get. God's got something for me. But, man, if you believe, man, I don't know. This might be a demonic spirit. Or this isn't God at all. Or my emotions. Or it's hype. Or this isn't real. Here comes the fear. Fear takeover. Here's what scripture says in Matthew 7, 9 through 11. You parents, if your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? No. Or if they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? That's a definite no. All snakes go to hell. Okay. Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? So in other words, if you ask the Father in heaven for the Holy Spirit, God is not going to give you anything else. If you ask the Holy Spirit to fill you and baptize you with the evidence of speaking in other tongues and or any of the other gifts that you desire, eagerly desire, you can trust God's word is true. God will give you his Spirit. You do not have to fear. Let me assure you that you will not receive a demonic spirit. God promises that in his word. If he's a good father, he gives good gifts. For instance, if you ask for something good, God is not going to give you something bad. That contradicts his word. If you ask for something holy, he's not going to give you something evil. 1 Corinthians 14:1 says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. You should eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit. Here in just a few moments, we're going to give you some intimate time and worship to ask Jesus yourself to baptize you with his Holy Spirit. Give you some personal time to ask God for his gift of speaking in other tongues. But before we do that, here's the third obstacle many people are running into to not receive God's gift of tongues, and it's pride. It's pride. Not many of us, maybe in college I was like this, but not many of us get excited to look silly. Pride keeps people from praying in tongues because they're afraid of how they might appear to other people. Pride also gets us not praying in tongues because we're afraid of how we're even going to look to ourselves. Ooh, you're being weird right now. You're one of them weird Christians. You're one of them holy rollers, right? You crazy, right? Woo-hoo. Weirdo here, right? Yeah, right? Let's be honest, like you haven't said that to yourself before. Here's another thing, pride. Speaking in tongues is the language of surrender. It's the language of emptiness. It is literally less of me, God, and more of you. When you begin to empty yourself, when you choose to let your ego go and surrender your will, you'll become filled with the Holy Spirit. Get out of your head, get out of your fear, and get out of your pride. See, when you break down any obstacle that may block any wonderful gift, anything at all, if God wants to speak to you, if God wants to give you a gift, if something's happening or God wants to bless you or whatever it is, if God's speaking to you, if God's trying to correct your actions and your words and your attitude, any of it, the major block is this. Everything has to do with ourself. We're the blockers. God doesn't block himself. We block God. When we stop focusing on ourselves and we push away pride, it's then we can receive what the Spirit of God has for us. So I want to ask you a question. Are you willing to surrender self to receive God? Because if you're not, you won't. But if you are, you will. Here in a moment, the worship team's going to come back up and do a few worship songs to try to create an atmosphere to let God move. And I'm going to ask something of you guys in just a moment. It's going to be a time for us to focus on God and put away all other distractions to focus on his gift. But don't just sit around and wait for something to happen. Right? Everyone say inaction. I-N, action. Inaction oftentimes is the biggest hurdle to not receive what God has for you. The Holy Spirit's not going to fill this room, grab your tongue, and start shaking it. Right? It's not going to happen. Right? Y'all watch too many scary movies. The Holy Spirit's not going to completely take control of your body and cause you to pray in tongues uncontrollably. I don't know what's going on. Because that doesn't line up to the Word of God. 1 Corinthians 14:32 says this, the spirits of prophets are subject to the control of prophets. Paul, we just talked about him, even devotes an entire chapter of 1 Corinthians chapter 14. If you want to read about it, do it this week. That's a great chapter to read. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. The entire chapter is on teaching us how to control the gift of tongues. Why would Paul tell us and teach us to control the gift if it couldn't be controlled? Why would he instruct us to manage the gift, and especially in a corporate setting, and help us put the gift in order if it couldn't be managed? Why would he do that? He wouldn't. That makes no sense. Here's my last little lesson before we ask God to fill us. I'm now speaking English. Maybe not the best English, but the best that I have. English was not my favorite. I'd rather do math. I'm speaking English, right? Anybody? Yeah? English back? Sí, señor. Pastor. Logo en la cabeza. Okay. That's crazy in the head. Okay. That's mean. I'm speaking English. In the English language, we have 26 letters in our alphabet. Right, teachers? Ooh, ooh. Am I right? Okay. I got the up and down. Yes. So everything I say, everything I explain, and everything I preach, and everything I even pray is in English. And it's made up of 26 letters. That's the alphabet that I speak. We're using our own understanding and what we're trying to explain and to say. This is an earthly language. English is made up of 26 letters. But is English the language of heaven? Do 26 letters make up the language of heaven? When we surrender to God's Spirit and we pray, and God's Spirit speaking in other tongues, we remove our understanding and our meaning of our syllables and our sounds here on earth. And we submit and let the Holy Spirit attach His own intentions, His own meanings to our words. I start speaking not English. Those are my words. When I allow the Spirit of God to speak through me with the gift of tongues, He is speaking His language. We start to speak to God with something straight from God. This is the language of faith. But church, it's in your control. Sometimes that's the worst thing about what people do and they call themselves Christians, is they want God to do everything and God says, I did. You have access to everything. You do something. You do something. That's literally what it means. You are a body sitting in a wheelchair or sitting lame on the ground or laying down or standing there for just refusing to move. You want God to move, but God says you move. I've filled you. I've given you all these answers. I've given you all the tools. You do something. It's in your control now. I don't know why God chose that. When Jesus chose the church until He comes again, I don't know why He did that, but that's His plan. We are plan A, right? Spirit of God is upon all of us to move the church, to spread the gospel, to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to cast out demons, to speak truth, the gifts of the Spirit to the non-believers and the believers alike, to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, to preach salvation, to walk in faith and to realize what God is saying, to listen to His voice. God has chosen us, church, to spread the gospel. And if we don't do it and we don't move, it goes nowhere. But here's the sad thing, and I remember thinking this when I was younger too. It freaked me out. He said, if you refuse to do what God wants you to do, He'll just pick the next person. It doesn't matter any of your talents. It doesn't matter any of your abilities or even your personality. What God is looking for is faithful people and obedient people. He can use anyone like that. If you're faithful and you're obedient and you lay down your agenda, He will use you. If you don't, He won't. He'll go on to the next one. He will. Church, it's in your control. We can't just sit around and wait for something to happen. 1 Corinthians 14:39. So my dear brothers and sisters, be eager to prophesy and don't forbid speaking in tongues. Paul tells us to not forbid. Another word for forbid is refuse to allow. Why would Paul teach us that if it wasn't for today? This amazing gift is not only a gift, it's actually a command. And don't forbid speaking in tongues. If you forbid that, you're going against my command. We have a part to play. Here's our part, church. Submit and give God your syllables and your sounds. Open your mouth and submit to God what He has for you. Here's God's part. He's going to make those spiritual. Our part, our act of faith, is giving God our syllables and our sounds. You give your noises, your sounds, your words, your syllables, the things that you don't understand here, but you know they're right here. And you trust that God is going to take those words and add his own divine meaning to them. You're going to find that you open your mouth in faith and you're going to start letting those syllables and sounds come out. And the Holy Spirit is going to take over to a certain point. You know what I'm saying? Like when you start praying in tongues and it's just kind of getting the engine started, then all of a sudden it's like, and you're like, woo, right? Even your head's like, oh, and like it steps out for a second, it's like, woo, right? And, and you just start flowing and you start flowing and start flowing. But you have to start. It's like you're walking and then you just start running and then you start sprinting and sprinting and sprinting and sprinting and sprinting and sprinting. And you're just going and going and going. And you're going to sense God's flow. His Spirit will flow through you. But it's like learning English. Babies don't just start speaking in full sentences and have a vocabulary like Pastor Mark or Kenny Gale, right? Those guys' vocabularies are ridiculous. They speak and I'm like, hey Siri, what is, right? That's like five syllables. Yeah, that's a lot. That's a big word. Break it down for me. You don't go from Goo Goo Gaga's to Pastor Mark and Kenny Gale talking. Babies start out with a few words. Don't be discouraged if you say Shanda Rambo, Shanda Rambo, Shanda Rambo, Shanda Rambo, Shanda Rambo, Shanda Rambo, and that's all you can say. Maybe in the spirit you're saying, I love you, God, I love you, God, I love you, God, or forgive me, God, or forgive me, God, or heal me, God, or heal me, God, or heal me, God. I don't know what you're saying, but the Spirit does. Right? Maybe you just have a few words. It might feel awkward at first, a little bit unnatural, but in time you're going to start speaking with more words. Shanda Rambo Kuramba. Right? Shanda Ramba Kulimba Ramba. And you just start going and going and going. And then it starts flowing. And you got all kinds of stuff to say. But just like a baby learning English, it starts small. Just a dada. My first word, with no surprise, is hi. No lie. Ask my mama. She'd be pushing me in the car, and people walking by, hi, hi. I'm like, not even 2 years old. Hi, hi, right? Oh, how are you doing today? Hi, right? But that's kind of how it starts in the spirit as well. Sometimes it just flows out, and you might have a whole bunch to say, but oftentimes it's just a few words, a few phrases, a few syllables, but soon it will start flowing out like rivers of living water that Jesus spoke about. Spirit of God will be upon you and it'll flow out like rivers of living water. Like a mighty prayer session with just you and God in your heavenly language. Worship team, can you please come? Church, will you stand? I have a few things to say to you before we ask God to move in this place. Church, we're going to ask God to fill us to overflowing individually. Each and every one of us. We're going to ask God, will you do this? Man, if you've been praying for speaking in other tongues and it hasn't happened, and we talked about those three obstacles, I want you to lay that down before the Lord and say, God, I've prayed and prayed, and this is my day that I receive your gift. This is my day I get to receive your gift. All right? You have to stop overthinking it. You will not fully understand it. Get past that. It's not meant for your head. It's for your spirit. For your soul, for who you are. Stop being afraid that it's not God and it's not his gift for you. And lay aside your pride. Trust God. Church, just trust him. Man, if we could just get that in our life, wow, the world would change. Just trust God. I don't know what's going on. Just trust him. But it's going to be weird. Yeah, trust him. It's going to sound crazy. Yeah, trust him. But I don't fully understand it, but I understand a little bit more because Pastor preached on it today. Yeah, just trust him. Is it in his word? Yeah, I'm going to read. I'm going to read in Corinthians. I'm going to read in Acts. I'm going to read in the New Testament. I'm going to trust God's word is true, and it's for me today. Just trust him. Open your mouth and give him your words. I'm going to ask you to do something. Church, will you just spread out? You cannot do it by sitting by the same people right now. Just spread out all over this place, wherever you can find a spot. Just spread out. Remember, this is you and God right now, just you and God. We're going to sing like two songs. Two songs or three songs, whatever Brett feels is right. We're going to lower the lights, maybe a little bit more than worship, because I feel like that was part of the reason maybe holding back. It was kind of bright in here. This is going to be like more intimate, right? So we're going to go a little bit lower, a little bit darker, but just spread out. Some of y'all didn't even move. Like, I know where you were sitting. I looked at you for like the last 45 minutes. Please move. Hey, one step to the left. Okay. You got to get out of your element and out of your place, and you got to find a spot with just you and God. If you got to turn around and face the wall, do it. If you got to come to the altar, do it. If you got to go over to the side, do it. But you can't get with you and God if you're with you and everybody else. We're going to pray that this gift of tongues, speaking in other tongues, the gift of heavenly language is going to be imparted upon all of us and everybody who desires it. We need to thank the Lord for this gift so we can communicate with God. I want to communicate with God. Will you go ahead and lower the lights right now, please? Go ahead and close your eyes. If you want to, you can lift your hands. That's just an international sign of surrender. You don't have to, but if you feel it, you can. And just begin to speak out, right? Just begin to speak out. Start in English and ask God for something more if you need to. Let what's welling up in your spirit out. Let it out. If you feel it, don't fight it. Just let it go. Just start praying in tongues. Surrender to the gift that God has for you. It will bless you. It will edify you. It will build you up in your faith. Don't overthink it. Don't think, oh, this is me. This is me. No, it's God. God wants to fill you. It's promised in His Word. He wants us to have this amazing gift. It will edify, it will build you up, it will encourage you. When you don't know what to pray, you can pray. The Spirit of God in you will pray. It'll stir you up, it'll heal you, it'll set you free. Think about Jesus right now, church, and how much He loves you. Think about the Father in heaven and all the good gifts that He has for you. And He doesn't desire bad things for you. He desires the greatest things for you. If you desire a good gift, He'll give it to you. All the wonderful gifts He has for you, let the Holy Spirit come upon you. Let Him come on you right now. Let Him come upon you and fill you to overflowing. Ask God for it. Right now, you could have hands being laid on you. The Bible teaches that sometimes laying on of hands will receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but not every time. Not every time. It is a practice. This is time with you and God. We're going to make this next few minutes, 15 minutes or so, just you and God. Spend time with God. Ask God to fill you. Ask God to stir you up. If you need to find a place where you feel like you're not alone with Him, go find a place. You're going to get what you desire, and God wants to give you good gifts. Brent, as you play, church, just pray. Thank you, Jesus.